Second Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10. I titled this message, Faithfulness in Hard Places. Faithfulness in Hard Places. God has called us to be a faithful people. Even when it's not easy. So this morning, that's what I want to share with you on that topic, faithfulness in hard places. And again, this is we're continuing on, staying on the subject of Christian living. Amen. Christian living. Amen. The lifestyle of a Christian, and the lifestyle of a Christian is a lifestyle of faithfulness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. The Word of God reads like this: But there were also false prophets among the people. Tell your neighbor, beware. Just as there will be false teachers among you. Tell your neighbor, beware. Says they will secretly introduce destructive heresies or false teachings, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Now, just pause right there. In the past, you know, there's been stories of some healing ministries that kind of fabricate those healings. And they purposely plant people in their congregation or in the crowd, and they get them to make up stories. And so when it's testimony time, it was all fabricated. The Bible is clear, the Word of God is clear, and it was a word of prophecy here in 2 Peter that would be taking place today. And sometimes that still takes place. Not here though. We have healing services, but we just do the praying and the laying on the hands, and we leave the results up to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we ask you to testify. Nobody's giving you. Nobody gave them a script before the service. Come on, somebody. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. Let's go on. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world then, when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, how many remember the flood? But he protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes, and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for the righteous man living among them day after day, which was Lot, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and he heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the ungodly from trials, or from the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials, and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. Tell your neighbor, the Lord knows. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desires of the flesh and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings. So here we have a powerful portion of scripture, and Peter gives us a few illustrations and names of few characters in the Bible that were faithful even in hard places. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word here this morning. Anoint it to our hearts. I pray that we would be able to learn, and not just learn, God, but internalize, so that we can apply what we learn to our everyday life. Because this Christian life, you have called us to live it out every day. And so, God, I pray that you teach us here this morning. allow the word to go forth with simplicity, but yet with power and anointing, and that the church may be edified and built up, Lord. Remove me to the side. Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit to bring everything into remembrance that you have poured into me throughout the years of my salvation, so that I can be what you've called me to be here this morning, and that is your preacher and teacher to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are living in perilous times. In other words, troublesome times. We have mass shootings. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of deadly diseases. There's wars and rumors of wars. Godlessness and so much evil, like witchcraft and idol worship of demons and devils, are taking place today.
Amen.
We got to be careful that as Christians that we just don't live in our own bubble and we ignore what's taking place outside the four walls of the church or the four walls of your Christian house. It's great that we have been able to establish our house, an altar at our house, a place of prayer. It's great that we were able to put up great pictures, Christian pictures and scriptures on the wall, and play worship music in our house, and get rid of all the ungodly stuff in our house. How many have got rid of all the ungodly stuff in their house?
Amen.
Come on, somebody. You got to put the back to the bar. Oh, come on now. Come on, somebody. Probably got to clean out that old collection of old CDs from the past. Come on, somebody. Huh? And that's all good. But listen, even though when we do all that stuff, we still live in a world that is a world that is a dangerous place. We're in perilous times. There's still a lot of hatred out there. We look at the news all the time and we see the hatred. We see the diseases. We see the godlessness of the times. But I want you to know that it's important to remember that men have lived in perilous times before now. And they have been faithful. And if they can be faithful, then so can we. Tell your neighbor, so can we. Tell your neighbor, we can do it. Men have lived in perilous times before, and men will continue to live in perilous times in the future. We're called to be faithful even in the midst of those hard times. Even in the midst of ungodly times. Even in the midst of evil. God has called us to be faithful. He said, you're not of the world, but you're in the world. We're not of this world, but yet we're in this world. And we're not to do like some did in the past, called the monks. And these monks ran to the mountains and they built communities in the mountains because they said, you know what? This world is so evil that we need to go to the mountains and build our own community where nobody can bother us, where nobody can harass us, where we're not affected by the sin of the world. But in so doing, they neglected reaching the world. They neglected preaching to the world. So God doesn't want us to go and just leave the world and just, you know. No, but he called us to live in the world and to be a light in the midst of darkness. But in order to do that, we must be faithful. So this morning, I want to look at six different people who were faithful in their time, and I want to learn from them. The first person I want to look at is Noah.
Yeah.
Noah was faithful in a godless world.
Come on now.
In Noah's world, it was a godless place. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, the word says, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah,
amen,
a preacher of righteousness, and seven others.
Come on.
Huh? Noah lived in a godless world, but God was able to protect him.
Amen.
This is why we shouldn't live in fear as Christians.
Come on now.
You don't got to be afraid to go to Walmart. Just because of what we've seen in El Paso, we ain't got to be afraid to go to Walmart.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Because God is able to protect us.
Amen.
Even in the midst of a war. And yes, there were some probably Christians there that day. But God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Noah lived in a godless world. The whole world was godless.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I mean, to think he flooded the whole world.
Wow.
Because of their evilness and their wickedness. The whole world, only Noah and seven others were spared. Only eight in all were spared from the floods.
Wow.
Eight is the number of eternity.
Amen.
Huh? What kind of civilization was Noah living in? What kind of civilization was this ancient world that Noah lived in? In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it describes that civilization. And in Genesis 6 verse 5 it says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time." The world was a bad place. Kind of reminds me of today a little bit. When we see the kind of civilization that Noah was living in. He lived in a place that had a lot of wickedness. He didn't say wickedness, he said great wickedness.
Yeah, yeah.
That every thought of a man's heart, every thought of a woman's heart was evil. Not just sometimes.
Oh wow.
But all the time. So what did Noah do during this evil time to remain faithful? Well, one thing he did was Noah preached righteousness. For 120 years, the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. What's going to help? Listen, if we're going to be faithful, what do we do while we're in this perilous time? What do we do that will help us to remain faithful? We do what Noah did. We be those preachers of righteousness that God has called us to be. You may say, "But Pastor, I can't preach like you. I can't yell like you." Listen, you listen. Your lifestyle should be a message to the world, at your job, at your school, in your family, in your community, because you got Jesus living on the inside, because Jesus has done an inward work in your life. You're no longer the person that you used to be. You're no longer the individual that used to be, the godless individual, the heathen, the sinner, no more. Why? Because Jesus came into your life and he rearranged your life. He took away the darkness. He took away the evil. He sanctified you. He purified you, and he's still purifying you. He's still sanctifying you. Maybe you're not the person that you think you should be right now, but thank God you ain't the person that you used to be a long time ago. Thank God that you're a new creation. I don't know about you, but I'm not the same person I was before I gave my life to Jesus. I'm a totally new person in Christ Jesus, because Jesus has come into my heart and he cleaned up my act. Somebody once said this: preach the gospel and use words if you have to.
Wow.
Come on now. Amen.
Our lifestyle should be a message.
Amen.
But not only our lifestyle, we should preach. We should open up our mouth and tell people that Jesus loves them. We should listen. We should preach the word of God. We should quote scripture. We should have scripture living in our hearts so that we can share it with other people. Because there's people out there that need the infallible, powerful word of God.
Amen.
Noah was faithful. But what did he do while remaining faithful? He preached for 120 years. 120 years Noah preached. That's how we remain faithful. You know how I'm gonna remain faithful? You know what keeps me faithful? Preaching the gospel. Praying every morning, yes. Living it out, yes. But what has kept me also is to preach the gospel. Pastor Josh said this month is Pastor's Appreciation Month. Pastor, we want to give you a break from the pulpit. I don't know how to receive that. We want to give you a break from preaching.
Come on,
Dad. Oh, come on.
I guess he thinks that's a gift for me. I like to preach.
Come on,
somebody. I love to preach.
Amen.
I love to preach. I love to be a preacher of righteousness.
Amen.
But I just don't like to preach it. I like to live it.
Come on.
I love to share the Word of God. Because listen, you know why? Because in sharing the Word of God, it not only keeps the church in check, come on somebody, but it keeps me in check. Because before I gotta give it to you, I gotta dish it out to me first. Before I preach it to you, I preach it to me first. I preach it to you one time, I preach it to me 10 times. Before I preach it to you once, I preach it to myself at least 10 times. Before I ask you to make an altar call, I've made that altar call. I said, oh Lord, I want to be more faithful.
Yes.
On Friday, I preached on love. I said, oh God, I want to love more.
Yes.
When I preach on giving, before I preach to you on giving, I say, oh God, I need to be a better giver.
Yes.
No, and what kept Noah faithful? One of the things is because he was a preacher of righteousness. And I believe every time he went out and he's seen a godless world. He's seen bloodshed. He's seen blood being shed. He's seen alcoholism. He's seen all the drugs that they had, because they had drugs back then. You know, they probably didn't have the meth that we have today and the heroin we have, but they had drugs back then. They had some, you know, some wacky tobacco back then. And every time he went into the world and he seen all the topless bars, because they had topless bars back then. They just didn't call them topless bars. They were some of them, they were places of worship for other gods. Where there was prostitution taking place in those places. And every time Noah went into the world and he seen that, he became a preacher and he preached to them. He says, listen, repent, because you're not living right. That is ungodly. It is not right to have your father's wife. It is not right to have your sin. He's seen it all in Noah's day. There was all kinds of wickedness in Noah's day. And Noah was preaching, but nobody wanted to listen. But what kept Noah to be faithful is that as he preached, he says, I'm over here preaching to them, but I know the sins of my heart. I'm over here preaching to them, but I know this. I know that I got to stay faithful. I know that I got to stay right, because I know that I'm tempted. But listen, what's going to help me to fight this temptation? Yes, it's my prayer life. Yes, it's my relationship with God. But also, as I preach to others, I'm preaching to myself. You better help me preach this morning. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Christian, come out of the closets. So many Christians hiding in the, well, I don't preach because I don't want them. I don't want them to make fun of me. And I don't want this. And I don't know the word. And I this and that. Listen, if you don't know the word of God, then get into the life flow. Get into Becky. Get into a life group, a Bible study. Get into your word. Hello, somebody. And learn the word of God. Because when you stand before God, you will have no excuse, because he's given us the Bible. He's given us 66 love letters. We can't hide behind the excuse, well, God didn't call me to be a preacher. No, but God called you to be a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, my grandma, matter of fact, my dad turned 74 yesterday. Happy birthday again, Dad. His mom, my grandma, she wasn't a preacher, but she was a preacher. She would come to my service. She would come to our church service on Park Row, and she would love to come to my church. And she would sit there, and my mom would bring her, my dad would bring her, and she would sit there. And she just listened, and you know, she didn't speak a lot of English, but you know, she sat there and listened to me yell. And I a couple times after the service, I would take her home. I would drive her home. She lived all the way in on the other side of town in Mesquite Garden area, but she would drive. She would come. She would get my mom to bring her all the way to Arlington.
Come on now,
to hear her grandson preach.
And so
afterwards, you know, my mom would kind of sometimes drop her off, and I would take her home. And on the way home, a lot of times she would be on the way home, and that woman, she'd be, after I preached to her, she'd be preaching to me.
Amen.
I'll be driving home and I'll be kind of tired, but you know, she just quoted, all she did was quote scripture. I mean, she had more scripture memorized than me.
Oh, wow.
I'm serious. Huh? But she never preached behind the pulpits. She had the word of God in her hearts. Huh? She had the word of God in her hearts. That's what God has called you to be. She was, in other words, she was just an ordinary Christian, just like many of us. But yet, she didn't, just because she was an ordinary Christian, she didn't let that hold her back from memorizing the word of God and sharing the word of God. Come on, somebody. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And for 120 years he preached. And not only did he preach righteousness, secondly, he built an ark to save his family.
Amen. Amen.
And not only his family, but I believe he maybe even built the ark to save others who would have responded to his message.
Yeah.
Others who would have responded to his preaching in those 120 years. If they would have responded, he probably would have let them in the boat too. But let me tell you something. In those 120 years, he didn't even have one convert. Outside of his family. He didn't have one convert. 120 years of preaching. That's encouraging to a preacher like me. That makes me feel a lot better. Come on, somebody. Not one convert did he have. But Noah, in his faithfulness, was a builder and he was a preacher.
Come on.
I think that we as a church can learn from Noah's example.
Yes.
Noah was faithful for 120 years preaching righteousness. Some people can't even be faithful for a year.
Wow.
6 months.
Wow.
Come on, somebody.
Wow.
Huh? I thank God that, listen, I'm coming on 20 years being saved.
Hey.
Next year, March 3rd.
Hallelujah.
2020.
Man.
I got saved in the year 2000.
Come on.
In 2020, I've been saved and preaching righteousness.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I got saved, I started preaching.
Yeah.
Started preaching to my family. Started preaching to. I went to prison. I was. They call me preacher man in prison. I've been preaching, and we can learn from Noah's example that if we're going to be faithful, we need to be preachers in this house.
Right.
We need to be builders in this house.
That's right.
You know why people sometimes they have a problem being faithful is because they don't get involved in soul winning.
Yeah.
They don't get involved in winning the lost.
Yeah.
To Christ.
Yeah.
Listen, why do you guys hit the streets so much? Why are you always doing outreach? Why are you always doing evangelism? Because we love people, yes. Because we're reaching others, yes. Because we want to see souls saved, yes. Oh, but more than that, it's not just because of them, but it's also because of us. Because if I'm winning a soul, my soul ain't being lost. Oh, you ain't hearing me. If I'm busy preaching to others, I ain't out there smoking crack or drinking alcohol or smoking weed or sparking up a blunt or doing something that I shouldn't be doing. I'd rather be preaching the gospel on a Saturday night at a rally. I'd rather be in the house of the Lord on a Sunday. You ain't hearing me this morning. Listen, we ain't got time to backslide in victory outreach. Because why? We keep our hand to the plow.
Come on.
Some Christians got so much time. They have so much time that they have enough time to drink a glass of wine. Here's like the wine Paul told Timothy, drink a little wine for your stomach.
Come on.
You got to know the whole teaching behind that. It's because the water was polluted back then.
Right.
Timothy had ulcers because the church gave him ulcers because of all the stress he was under.
Come on.
Huh? But we got clean water nowadays.
Yeah.
So we don't need a wine. The Bible says, do not be full off of wine or strong drink, but be full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
Listen, listen, let me tell you something. If I wasn't doing something for God, then I'd be drinking wine too. Come on, somebody. Huh? Because listen, you don't know me, man. My homeboy Alex knows me a little bit, amen. You know how I used to be. Huh? I love the action. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
I love the rush of stealing a car. Of breaking into a house. Of running from the police. We were driving through Parker Hill yesterday, and you know, I was sharing with my dad, you know, we used to run from the cops from Parker Hill. They turned the lights, man, we pushed it and they wouldn't catch us. In other words, I love living the fast lifestyle. Now that I'm saved, ain't nothing changed.
Come on
now. I still love living
fast.
Come on.
Yeah.
But I just love living fast for God.
Yeah.
I love to go into the enemy's camp. I love to go into the ghetto still. I used to love to go into rival neighborhoods to do drive-bys. But now I still do the same thing, but it's not with the gun. It's with some flyers. It's with the bullhorn. It's with our sound equipment. It's with some soldiers that got my back. The men's home, the women's home, the gang. Church, listen, I still live in life, living on the edge. But listen, if I'm gonna do a drive-by, I'm gonna do a drive-by in the spiritual realm and make sure that we leave some spirituality in the wake of it. I don't wanna leave bloodshed no more. I wanna leave the spirit. Before we left bloodshed, but now we leave the spirit of God in that neighborhood. We leave the spirit of God in that place. All of a sudden we get saved, and now, you know what happens? People are tempted because you get bored. I'm bored. So let me pop open one. Let me drink one. Let me drink a glass of wine. What if you be on the streets? If you be doing ministry? If you be in the Word of God? If you're in a prayer meeting, casting out a demon, casting out a devil? Come on now. And you know what it does? It helps us to remain faithful.
Yeah.
It helps us to remain faithful.
Yeah.
That's what's helped me. I'm glad my pastor taught me right.
Yes.
I'm glad my leaders taught me right.
Yes.
Because it's kept me out of trouble.
Right.
And he still teaches me. Every time he sees me, he says, stay out of trouble. I said, man, he's a cheater. Okay. I got sin on me. Every time I say, I'm a grown, sometimes I want to say I'm a grown man. But he knows me. And he looks at me and he says, Cisco, stay out of trouble. I said, oh, yes, sir. I'm going to pray right now. Some of us would get hurt if our pastor tells us that.
Huh?
I know, because it hurts me a little bit, but I take it.
Yeah.
I said, amen.
Come on.
He still sees a thrivestal in me then. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
I still need some changing in my life.
Come on.
But it keeps me in check.
Right, amen.
So how do I stay out of trouble? By doing good. By preaching. Being a preacher of righteousness. By building. By building the kingdom of God. By building the house of God. Noah built an ark to save him and his family. So our action point, in other words, what you need to do is preach even if no one listens. That's an action point. Preach even if no one listens. Well, they don't want to hear it. My family don't want to hear it. They've heard it already from me. Keep on preaching even if they walk away. Keep on preaching even if they ignore you. If they turn the cheek, keep on preaching because they did the same to Noah. But listen, one day the word of God will be fulfilled. Preach even if no one listens. And then build something for God. The church is the ark. This is the ark, people. This is why it's so important that we build the church of God. This is why it's so important that we raise up leaders. This is why it's so important that we have discipleships and we preach and teach about being a man of God and a woman of God and being a leader that can lead other people to Christ, because we're talking about building the body of Christ. We're talking about building the church and the ark. It's not the building, but it is the people.
Yeah.
And we need to become skillful at working with people.
Right.
But listen, in order, how does that take place? That takes place as we work on ourselves.
Yes.
As we work on our character, right. As we work on our integrity, yes. As we work on our spirituality, on our holiness, and on our purity, because how are we going to preach to somebody else?
Come on now,
we got a lot of dirty laundry in our own back pocket.
Wow. That's right, amen.
We got to build the ark. Wow. We're building an ark. When we build a ministry, we're building an ark. What? So that other families can come into the house of God and receive salvation. So that other couples can come into the house of God and feel the presence of God and see their marriage restored. So that other men can come into the men's home. Other women can come into the women's home that come in off of drugs and alcoholism and heroin addiction and methamphetamine and crack cocaine and whatever else drug the devil tries to put out there on the streets. But they can come into the house of God and feel the power of God upon their life and see those chains broken upon their lives. They don't have to go to another drug facility that's just going to dope them up with another drug. We don't do that, my friend. When they come into our men's and women's home, they receive the power of God. We rely on the power of the Holy Ghost. We're old school. We still believe in laying hands and seeing people that were on heroin. Yes, when they come down, they're supposed to get sick. They're supposed to get the heebie-jeebies. But because we're a people of prayer and we lay hands and we are just dumb enough to believe that the Bible is true, we lay hands on them and they don't get sick. They get healed and they wake up one day and they say, I can't believe I'm not sick. I can't believe I'm not going through withdrawals. And we said we can believe it because that's the power of God. Gotta get busy building the house of God.
Amen.
Be a builder.
Yes.
Be a leader. We're talking about building people.
Right.
Let's build people. Amen. Let's love on people.
Yes.
Let's follow up on people.
Come on,
let's encourage people.
Amen.
Let's build people in the Word of God.
Amen.
Let's teach them the Word of God, not just by word, but in deed.
Yes.
Let's be a builder. That's what Noah did. He preached. And he built. See, the ark, it only needed to float for less than a year. And then it wasn't needed no more.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. We're building something here. We're building the kingdom of God, the church of God.
Amen.
But one day, we ain't going to need the church no more. That's when we get to heaven.
Amen.
Because we're going to be with Jesus.
Yeah.
But for now, we need the church.
That's right.
Too many people want Father God as their father, but they don't want Mother Church as their mother.
Oh.
Our Father is our Heavenly Father, and He blesses us from on high. But listen, the church is like our mother that nourishes us.
Right.
You know, Mom, Dad can't do what Mom does.
Oh,
come on, somebody. Huh? Mom is there. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
It's like right here. Sometimes you have a hard time knowing if God hears you, if you can feel God. But when you come to the church, you always feel the love of God. You can always feel the presence of God. You can always feel love.
It's good.
For some preachers, they become discouraged today when they don't see results. My advice to them is remember Noah. Sometimes as a leader, you might feel discouraged because you don't see results. But my advice to you is keep preaching.
Yeah.
Keep building.
Yeah.
And remember Noah.
Yeah.
They never remember Noah.
Remember Noah.
See, Noah did the things required and left the results to God. Huh? It's like our rallies, right? Like our last night we were at the rallies.
Amen.
You know, we just go anywhere, man. Where the Spirit leads us.
Amen.
You know, we go and we set up and, you know, and sometimes we go out there and we're just there. We bring our hot dogs. We get the sound equipment, get the flyers, get the people, get the banners, get the signs. And we go out there and we go door to door. And at first it's like, you don't see nobody coming out. You know, and as a leader, we sit there. It's like, man, how do we get people to come out to the rally? You know, but you know, it never fails.
Yeah.
Never fails.
Come on,
We she never fails. We can go out there and, you know, we bring the hot dogs, we bring the barbecue pit, we bring the charcoal, we bring the sound, we bring the team, and it seems like nobody's coming. Oh, but the people of God start to give their testimony. The leaders start to pray. We start to sing our praise and worship music. We start to rap for Jesus. And all of a sudden, they're like, come on, I want to say they're like roaches. I'm just going to say they start coming out of the woodworks. See, one here, there, one here, there, one here, there, and they start to come out. And all of a sudden, by the end of the rally at the altar call, there's something about the altar call. I love altar calls here at church. Oh, but there's nothing like a Holy Ghost, old school street altar call. By the time we make the altar call on the streets, you see the church praying for the community. You see people be asking for prayer. You see people broken. You see people receiving prayer. Receiving Jesus. It's because we're like Noah. We do the things that are required and leave the results to God.
Right.
Huh? This is why don't get discouraged going to the streets.
Right.
Some people get discouraged going to the streets just because one time they went to a rally and they didn't get to ask to testify. Or maybe it wasn't that great. Listen, that's the devil trying to lie to you. You stay faithful in preaching righteousness. You stay faithful with the body of Christ building out there. Listen, just do what is required and leave the results to God. Another example is Lot. Lot was faithful in a wicked city. Noah was faithful in a ungodly world. Lot was faithful in a wicked city. 2 Peter 2, verse 6 through 8 says, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless. For that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. Now, go to Genesis chapter 19 and let's get a more clear picture of how wicked the city was of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 19 verses 1 through 26. We see the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. Says the two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. He met the angels. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning. Amen. No, they answered. We will spend the night in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast. And they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof. Get out of our way, they replied. This fellow came here as a foreigner, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them. They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness so that they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, Do you have anyone else here, son-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. Wow. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. Wow. So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws, who were pledged to be married to his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." There he is preaching again. But look at what his son, the reaction. But his son-in-laws thought he was joking. Thought he was a joke. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life, but I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared," he said to them. "Very well, I will grant this request to you. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot's problem was a moral problem. The whole city had lost its morals. The whole city was given over to wickedness. Lot's righteous soul was vexed. In other words, the word vexed means annoyed, frustrated, and worried. To a man and a woman of faith, when we see the evil in our world, we can't help but to feel this way. Annoyed and frustrated and worried about the coming judgments. We can't help but to feel this way for the way things are. And our response should be a response of prayer and intercession. Destruction came upon the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot and his daughters were saved. I want you to know that God knows how to save the faithful remnant. This is why it's important to stay faithful. Even when things seem gloomy and dark, we have to remain faithful. Even when things seem like things are getting bad, it's getting bad in my neighborhood, it's getting bad in my family, it's getting bad in this marriage, it's getting bad. Just remain faithful. Things were bad then, but God made a way of escape. Amen. God rescued Lot. Amen. See, Lot and his daughters, they were saved by God. You got to remain faithful, because God is always on his way. God is on his way. Sometimes when things are hard, just remain faithful. Amen. When you're going through a hard time, financially, maybe spiritually, don't run. Don't throw in the towel.
Come on now.
Don't give up. Amen. God is on his way. A breakthrough's on its way. A fresh wind of the Holy Ghost is on its way. Don't give up. No matter how hard financially it is, don't give up. No matter how crushed you may feel, good. Help is on the way.
Amen.
His son-in-laws, they laughed at his warning. Let me tell you something. If you're a person of faith and faithfulness, you'll be laughed at by the world.
Yeah.
The world is gonna laugh at you. They're gonna poke fun at you. They will call you a hallelujah or a holy roller, a Bible thumper. But listen, don't you worry about that, because I'm here to tell you that God always gets the last laugh.
Yeah.
If they laughed at Noah, they're gonna laugh at us. Some people can't stay faithful because they take care too much about their image. They care too much, and people are laughing at me because I'm always in church, and people are laughing at me because of this. And listen, it doesn't matter. You serve under an audience of one. You serve God, and you be faithful to God. Lot's wife, she started out, but then she turned back. The Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. Don't look back. Don't turn back. And become a pillar of salt. In other words, she became an example. God made an example out of her. Because she looked back. Too many Christians start. They start off right. But then they begin to look back. They look back. And then they go back and they stay stuck in the world.
Wow.
I've seen it time and time again. Brothers and sisters in Christ, they're doing so good. They're in the home doing great. They're in the church doing great, making altar calls. God is raising them up. God is using them. But all of a sudden, they get a little whiff of the wind. All of a sudden, they want to take one more glance at Sodom and Gomorrah. All of a sudden, they want to take one more look of the world. All of a sudden, they want to take one more looky-loo. And they look back and they turn into a pillar of salt. We got to be careful what we're looking at.
Come on.
We got to be careful that we don't let our heart deceive us.
Yes.
Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful amongst all things. Who can understand it?
Yep. True.
We got to be careful that our hearts are not led back into the world.
Wow.
Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back.
Wow.
In other words, she stayed stuck in the world. Jesus told the disciples and he warned them. You know what he said? He said, remember Lot's wife.
Ooh.
That's all he had to say. And he dropped the mic. I don't know about you, but I don't want to become a pillar of salt. I don't want to be salty. Come on, somebody. I know we're the salt of the earth. Come on, somebody. Huh? But let me tell you something. We're the salt of the earth only to put a little bit of salt. A little bit of salt's okay in my salsa. Come on, somebody. Right?
Come on now.
But have you ever been with somebody that just put too much salt in the salsa?
Yeah.
It's like, man, dude, you messed it all up.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Some people they put too much salt in the food.
Yeah.
Some people, I gotta hide the salt shaker from them. Talking about the word. Listen, a little salt's all right. Listen, we're in this world, so there's some characteristics of the world. We gotta have the same clothes that the world has. We just don't wear them the way the world wears them. Oh, come on, somebody. They ain't as tight as the world wears them. They ain't as low as the world wears them. Come on, somebody. They may not say the things that the things of the world says on their shirts, right? I mean, resemble a little bit of the world, but only a little bit. Come on, somebody, because we can't walk around this place naked. Come on now. You like some of you, man, if I look at your haircut, I mean, your haircut's no different than the worldly person's haircut. Come on, somebody. Some of you got the same haircut as I did when I was a dope dealer. Some things are similar. There's a little bit of salt's okay, but some people, you got too much salt of the world. That's like, oh, that's just too much.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Huh? Because we get those things from the world.
Amen.
We miss those things from the world. Come on, somebody. Huh? We miss those things from the world. And if we're not careful, it will cause us to go back to the world and stay stuck in the world. And I don't know about you, but I've had enough of the world for a lifetime in my life.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't look back. Lot was in a place in a wicked city. And every day in that wicked city, the Bible says his soul was vexed. Because of all the world. I mean, think about the worldliness that he'd seen. Homosexuality.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like out there. I mean, they weren't even hiding in the closet. They came out of the closet, out of the garage, out of the woodworks. They were everywhere. Kissing each other in the park.
Yeah.
Huh? Doesn't that sound familiar? We see that stuff still today. Just everywhere. And he had to walk by all that junk. Huh? Probably what he was saying, like, get cat. But they were out in public with him. His soul was vexed. Huh? It's like sometimes, you know, we go around, you know, we live in this world. Again, we're gonna be around people that are drinking. I mean, I like the Cowboys. I like going to the Cowboys game. I wish for Pastor's appreciation, y'all would bless me with Cowboys tickets.
Yeah.
And give me a Sunday off.
Yeah.
Hint, hint. Hello, somebody. I've been to a Cowboys game.
Woo!
Boy, I sit there. Come on, somebody. And there's drinking going all around me. Drinking going on around me. Huh? I used to be an alcoholic. Come on, somebody. I drank more alcohol than a fish drinks water. Huh? I used to love to drink. And I got to go around it. You know, of course, I'm not, you know, oh my God, I'm told you, get out of here. No, I chop it up. I said, man, you know, I don't want that devil's pee. But my spirit's bad. But it's okay to have one, but when they get out of control, come on, somebody. And then they want to start talking about my boys.
Come on, man.
It really gets under my skin. Amen. My soul vexed. Amen. I don't know if we got any copper haters in here, but amen. Even in the midst of all that, Lot remained faithful.
Amen.
And we too, even in the midst of all the stuff, all the drugs that are around us, all the lawlessness, all the godlessness, all the worldliness, all the materialism, if Lot can do it in the midst of that wicked city,
yeah.
GP ain't that wicked. Come on, somebody. We can stay faithful to God. We're talking about being faithful to the Lord. Let's remain faithful to God. As the piano player comes up, the last person I want to make an example of was Joseph. Joseph remained faithful, even in Potiphar's house. And I had six, but for the sake of time, I'm going to stop here. But Joseph, he was faithful, man. He was persecuted for things he didn't do.
Right.
But yet he stayed faithful.
Amen.
Huh? In Genesis 39, verses 1 and 2, it says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Why? Because he was sold by his brothers into slavery. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. Let me tell you something. It's so important that you remain faithful even in hard times, because even in hard times, God can prosper you. Oh, that's a good one right there. Even in hard times, God can prosper you. Skip down to verse 9. Verse 9 says, no one... Joseph says this to Potiphar's wife in verse 9. He tells her, no one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?
Wow.
Sin against God. When you sin, you're not sinning, you're sinning against God.
Right. Wow.
Joseph was a slave. And it wasn't even his own fault. See, that was a true test of faithfulness.
Amen.
When you can go through something and it ain't even your own fault, but you still remain faithful.
Amen.
You get rebuked and you didn't even do it, but you still remain faithful. Joseph, he was faithful to his master. We need Christians that are going to be faithful to Master Jesus. He was attracted to his master's wife. His master's wife was attracted to him.
Yes.
Joseph was tempted, but he refused temptation.
Yes.
He was slandered.
Amen.
He was imprisoned. But yet he stayed faithful behind it all. Even in the midst of hard times, we still got to remain faithful and use Joseph as our example.
Yes.
Our action point is to remain faithful as Christians. We must not give in to temptation. To remain faithful as Christians, that means we must not give in to temptation.
Amen.
So many of you, man, you were delivered from alcoholism, drugs.
Amen.
Do you think that the devil's not going to tempt you no more in that area? He's going to, I don't care how many years you've been saved.
Yeah, true.
He's still going to come and tempt you in that area.
Come on now.
But when he comes, you got to remain faithful to God.
Come on.
Why are you going back to something that God rescued you from?
Amen.
God rescued you from that.
Yes.
Even in prison, he was faithful to God.
Yes.
Even after his master's wife lied on him, he raped me, he tried to rape me, bold-faced lie. They threw him in prison. Huh? I had to trip out. Like, I can picture Joseph in prison and his fellow prisoner saying, "Hey, what you in here for?" "I didn't do it." "Oh yeah, me too. I didn't do it either."
Come on,
but he really didn't do it.
Amen.
But yeah, he could have been mad at God.
Yeah.
He had every reason to say, "You know what, God? You know me, God. I've been trying to serve you. Why do I gotta go through this? You know, I've been faithful to you, man. You know, man, God, you know, but why do I got to go through this?" He didn't do that. He didn't question God. He remained faithful.
Amen.
I want you to know that faithfulness to God will always pay off.
Amen.
Faithfulness to God will always pay off. You can take that to the bank and cash it.
Amen.
Sometimes sooner than later. And sometimes later than sooner. Think about that. Faithfulness to God will always pay off. Sometimes it'll come sooner than later. And sometimes later than sooner. Eventually, Joseph was made ruler over all Egypt. In due time. Why? Because he remained faithful. Faithful. Victory, Irish Grand Perry. We got to remain faithful.
Amen.
Stay faithful. I know this isn't a message where you get all excited, but this is the message that was needed in the house of God.
Amen.
I've been faithful. I've been faithful to God for 19 years, going on 20 years. My wife is saved. If we can do it, you can do it.
Amen.
I've been tempted. Yes, I've been tempted. Thank God I haven't fallen into those big old sins, man. Have I sinned? Yeah, I've sinned. I fall short of the glory. But thank God I have never went back to alcoholism, drugs, fornication, adultery, pornography. Thank God. God has kept me. He's kept me with his keeping power. And if he kept me, he can keep you.
Amen.
He can keep you. But you got to trust in God. Stay faithful in prayer. Stay faithful in church attendance. Stay faithful in ministry.
Amen.
Stay faithful in giving to the Lord.
Yes.
And all these things put together, they will keep you. As you stay faithful in being a preacher of righteousness and building God's kingdom, it'll keep you. By the time you know, man, I've been saved 5 years. I've been saved 10 years. I've been saved. And man, what have I been doing? I've been preaching. I've been serving in ministry. I've been building the house of God. I've been preaching. And you know, those things are making an impact in the world. Listen, everything else you do will not matter in heaven. But what you do when it comes down to God and the things of God, those are going to last in eternity. Those are what you're going to be rewarded for when you stand before your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to stand to your feet here this morning. Stay faithful to God. Be faithful to the Lord. Don't let the devil come in. Listen, sometimes you might fall, but get back up. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. That's me. I've fallen 7 times, but I get back up. I don't let the devil keep me down in the dumps. I get up, dust myself off, and continue to serve God. Don't give up. Some people fall under condemnation. You fall under condemnation, and because of the condemnation, it keeps them from being faithful. No, just know that God loves you. God forgives you. His mercy, His grace is sufficient. Get back up. Stay faithful in God's house. You mess up? Okay, you mess up. But say, you still can be faithful. Because you still can be faithful. Remember the words of Jesus at the end. He's going to say, "Welcome in, thou good and faithful servants." You don't have to be able to preach like me. You ain't got to have to sing like Sean. And you don't have to play the drums like Frankie. And do the keys like Jeanette. And, you know, take pictures like Robert. And preach like Josh. And lead like Irv. You know, be faithful. Be faithful. Jesus ain't going to say, "Welcome in, thou good and good preacher. Thou good and good singer." No. Thou good and faithful servant. Work on your faithfulness to God. To God. You can stay faithful to God. That's all that matters. Stay faithful to God. Lift your hands to the Lord. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray, God. I pray for an outpouring of your anointing in this place. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give us the DNA of faithfulness. Give us the DNA of faithfulness. We are a ministry of faithfulness. We haven't been around Victory Arch International 50 plus years. Because we've been unfaithful, God. We've been around this long because of faithful people. Pastor Sonny's been faithful. Sister Julie has been faithful. They're still faithful. He's about to turn 80 years old, God. Over 50 years, God, serving in ministry, being faithful to the heavenly vision. God, let us not grow weary, God. Let us not get bored, God, in serving you. Help us, God, to stay involved in being a preacher of righteousness and building the kingdom, God, being a builder, God. Lord, as we stay busy for you, God, that we don't have time to let our eyes wander and let our thoughts wander to the world and look back like Lot's wife, God. But we can stay, God, focused and faithful to you, to what you've called us to, God. Lord, your word, it cuts going in. But God, I pray that it will heal going out. That as it comes in, less, Lord, it's our medicine. But as we begin to give it out, it brings healing to us. Because the same word that pricked us is the same word that we use to bring healing to others. But then it also brings healing to us. Lord, I pray. Teach us to be a faithful people. Just lift your hands right there where you're at. I want to say a prayer for the church. I'm not going to make an altar call this morning. But I want to pray for a spirit of faithfulness upon your life. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now. Lord, that you would bring that spirit of faithfulness upon your people. To every man, woman, and child. To every couple, to every family, to every gang girl, and to every gang warrior, to every man and woman in the home. Lord, help them to be faithful. Let them stick it out of the home. Let them stick it out of the church and their ministry. Let them stay at their post, God. Let them be faithful at their post. Because that's what you're looking for, God. You're looking for faithful people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Right there where you're at, just worship the Lord in your chair. Worship Him in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Just stay in His presence. Stay in His presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Faithful God. You didn't have me preach this message because we're unfaithful, we're an unfaithful church, but because we are a faithful church, we are a faithful people. But you fully understand that if we're going to remain faithful, we got to continue to hear on topics on faithfulness, because that's what keeps us to be faithful. So I pray, Father, that you would seal this message in our hearts. I pray, God, that Lord, that we would openly receive your word with an open heart. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would come and seal. Would not only seal, but would heal. Because the word, God, it cuts us sometimes. But that's all right, because we need it, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come and seal the word in our hearts. Don't let the enemy come and steal the word. But let it bring forth fruits. Fruit that will remain. Lord, we thank you so much. I pray for every single person here this morning. Keep them by the power of your Holy Spirit. I commit them to the Holy Spirit. I commit them to your word. Lord, we're here on Sunday. But on Monday, God, we're back to work. We're back to school. We're back to the community. So I pray, Lord, that every day we would remain faithful in our relationship with you. That Lord, we remember to pray. That we don't go without prayer. That we remember to get into your word, even if it's just a chapter, a few verses, but that we're able to put something in our spirit to marinate on, to chew on. Because you've called us to be faithful in our daily living. And so this morning we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. 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 Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Were you blessed this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're glad that you're able to be here with us. Amen. Don't forget, amen, feel free to join us at the Third Wave Revival in Dallas tonight at 5:30 for all the homes, the gang. If you'd like to come, you're in the church, feel free to come. Amen. It's going to be a great time. Amen. At 5:30 in Victor Heights, East Dallas. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget all the announcements. Amen. Tuesday Life Group. Amen. And then tomorrow we start Bethy. Next Friday we'll be here for Fire to Friday service. Amen. Next Sunday morning we'll be back here also. Amen. So we love you. We thank you. Amen. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God bless you. You are dismissed. Yeah.